Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of A Place for Humans podcast. It's your boy, Dakota. That's me. My name is Dakota, and this is my podcast. And today's episode is with the homies from Modern Nirvana. Modern Nirvana is this trio of spiritual homies. Omies. Omies, you get it? My friend Frank, he's a four-time Emmy award-winning journalist. He's got all kinds of really cool videos on YouTube that are really worth checking out. Kat Graham is a brilliant actress. She's got a long list of really cool accomplishments, from being in a movie like The Parent Trap to her show The Vampire Diaries. And she was just in a movie with Morgan Freeman and John Travolta called The Poison Rose. And Bryant's like, he's like a medicine brother. You know, he's an inspirational speaker. He's really good at breath work, and he gives these classes and helps you transcend the attachments of the ego. Now, anyways, these guys are really cool, and I'm super happy that they came on and honored to have them on the podcast. And it's a really cool show. We talk about past lives and ayahuasca and a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And yeah, so enjoy. I pass out when I do breath work.
Oh, then let's
not. I'm just kidding. I don't actually pass out. I've seen people do that before, though. Have you ever had anyone pass out when you were doing breath work, like holding ceremonies for people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one time 8 people at once passed out. Then I was like, all right, I'm not teaching this practice anymore.
Yeah, that's like some wizard stuff.
I was like, I warned him before. I was like, hey, just so you know.
When Brian does it with me, he almost passes out.
Yeah, that's intense. Hello, nice to meet you guys, finally.
Hi. I would know so much about you without having a conversation.
Yeah, you guys too. Where are you guys at? You're in Tulum, Bryant. Frank, you're in Texas. Kat, where are you at? In a different dimension?
Unintentionally most of the time, but I'm just in Atlanta right now.
Atlanta? Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from LA.
Okay.
I moved out here for work, and I just loved it out here so much I stayed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Georgia. I'm from Detroit. That's where I'm at right now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thinking about Detroit a lot. Eminem. Yeah. A lot on the radio, so I've been thinking about.
You've been thinking about Detroit. You can get a really nice house for cheap.
Well, you can in Georgia too. So
yeah, that's true. And it doesn't snow. We get like 6 months of winter here.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah. Well, we got Big Sean. Big Sean lives here still.
Oh really? Oh yeah, that's right. He is from Detroit.
And Danny Brown. We have a nice little art community here.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Detroit. It's like that's Hitsville. That's.
Not so much these days, but back in the day, for sure. Yeah, Detroit's got such a history for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Detroit was like the place back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How's Tulum right now, Bryant?
It's so good. I was like, I led this workshop, and then the place that the workshop was at, this like resort place, held like this amazing private party. And then I was just sitting at a really fun table with like, people that are just like so pure of heart, but also like creating the life of their dreams. And I was like, wow, I'm really grateful to be in this like little fractal of a fractal of a fractal of a universe, like experiencing like this much bliss when everything else is kind of refining itself in the other parts of the world. So it's great, but I'm actually really stoked to go to Costa Rica with Frank.
Oh yeah.
Like it just gets better and better.
When are you, how long are you gonna be in Tulum for? Cause I'll be in Tulum in like 2 weeks, I think.
I'm going to be in Costa Rica with Frank. I'm here to the 5th.
To the 5th? Okay, you'll be leaving like 2 days before I get there.
Shoot. Well, if you need me,
but maybe me and Dakota can talk Brian into coming to Mexico in April.
You haven't been talked into that yet?
I was kind of a little sleepy, and I read the message, and I was like, this is so extreme.
I told him we're doing, what's it called? We're doing... plant medicine, obviously, ayahuasca, but also psilocybin in a dark cave. Then there was a third thing.
About that
it
part.
Was the toad. Dakota, tell me about the
toad. We don't do the mushrooms in a cave, but I wish we did the mushrooms in a cave.
I thought you told me you do it in a dark cave.
No, I mean, sometimes like they do that in like Huautla, like where like traditionally, but we don't do it as in the retreat at a cave. I wish that would be cool. Yeah, I mean,
by the time we get there, you're gonna be exhausted.
Oh, I know. April, you guys too. You guys will be coming off a retreat too. So I mean, that's rough to do back to back if you both came. You know,
this is our vacation.
Yeah.
Even though we're kind of working.
Vacation into like the astral world.
Yeah, your background is tripping me out. Kat's background is tripping me out.
Kat, you're not going to Costa Rica?
I thought I was. We're working on the travel part of it, but it might not happen.
No, have you ever been to Costa Rica before?
Yeah, I've been like two or three times.
Yeah, yeah, I love Costa Rica. It's beautiful. You ever seen a sloth?
I am a sloth.
Costa Rica is the only place, I think, that has both the sloths, the two-toed and the three-toed sloth.
Cat sleeps.
You know that, Dakota, is pretty amazing.
And they eat like when you got to look for the nut trees. I think they're like walnuts or something. You look for the walnuts on the ground and then look up in the trees. That's where the sloths hang out at.
Question?
There you go.
Are we filming? Are we recording?
Yeah, yeah, this is going already.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, love that. So natural.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so are you guys excited for Costa Rica? Have you guys done this stuff before? I know, Frank, you went to Rhythmia once, right?
I've gone to Rhythmia twice. I have two videos. So we have, since Dakota, is there an intro to this or what? But we have a YouTube channel called Modern
Nerd. Oh, yeah.
Okay, hold on. Why don't you?
Okay, you ready? Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Place for Humans podcast. Hold on.
And sloths.
And I'm here with my friends, Modern Nirvana. Hello, guys.
Hello, Dakota. Hey.
No, yeah, I usually do like an intro, like an edited in. I like to be a flowy conversation, natural.
So yeah. by then, they will have known, hopefully, that we have a YouTube channel called Modern Nirvana.
Yep.
And on that channel, yeah, I've gone to Rhythmia twice in Costa Rica and recorded my experience with plant medicine and mother ayahuasca and reconnecting with my inner child. And but this is the first time Bryant and I are going together. We've done other ceremonies together, but not with ayahuasca. And it's our first time going together. And he's bringing his dad and I'm bringing my little brother.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you said that.
Yeah, so the focus, because my little brother and his dad have never done it. And so the focus is going to be familial and ancestral healing.
That's really cool. Have you ever had any like crazy telepathic experiences on ayahuasca?
So you and I talked about this a little bit, Dakota, where you, when you do it, have, you know, you're seeing like terrestrials and you know, all the beings. But with me, it's always like personal epiphanies, you know, working with past lives and what I need to do with work, with relationships, with careers, with family. So I think what I'm going to do is focus on familial healing in Costa Rica. And then when I'm there with you in April, you know, we can call in beings together. What have you seen? Tell us, Dakota. Like, tell me about the little.
Well, you know, I want to start journaling the different type of beings people encounter when they're in these kind of ceremonies.
That's interesting. I'd be interested to read that.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? And I feel like because there's so many reoccurring themes that people come back saying, like everyone sees these snakes and they get eaten by the snake on ayahuasca, or they see a lot of praying mantises, or
really,
yeah, you never heard the snake or the praying mantis? No, you never heard that before.
Maybe the aliens.
Yeah, aliens, people definitely see, like, they say, like, they're on, like, a cosmic operation table, and they're getting abducted by aliens. There's a lot of, like, reoccurring themes when you hang out in, like, these like, ayahuasca circles and hear people's experiences. But for me, like, let's see, like, one of the crazy ones I seen this, like, I don't really know how to explain it. It was, like, this giant kind of shaman with... It was like a half eagle, half shaman, and it was coming out of this pink flower, and it would fly really close to me, and it would go really far away, and then really close to me, and then really far away.
Are you sure it wasn't Shaman Durek in a pink robe?
Shaman Durek, Dakota?
No, I never heard of him, but it sounds like him potentially.
Very him.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm not sure. And it didn't really come with any deep, profound meanings or anything like that. But that was a really intense vision I had of like a entity type of thing. And I once saw these little boars, like boar people. They had you ever seen Spirited Away? You guys ever seen that?
Oh, cartoon? Yes. Yes. I love
you know
it.
Those big heads? Like the wah, 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 yeah. Those big heads that jump on each other?
Yeah.
I seen like those, but they had boar teeth. Like the teeth were coming out, like right like at the bottom, and their lips were all pressed down up from the teeth bulging out. It was super detailed. They had like this
from
mud.
Ayahuasca?
Yeah, from ayahuasca.
Oh my god.
Have you ever tried it before?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't. You're not really selling it to me right now.
Yeah, I mean Frank don't have these experiences.
No, mine's a lot more selfish.
Brian, have you had any experiences where you've seen a different kind of cheese?
Yeah, like the alien experiences, definitely. And like really like just cosmic love experiences,
yeah.
Light, oneness, like deep understanding of oneness, like, you know, and just like all the other sensations that are beyond like words.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it all is. Like, I don't know if it's our brain kind of just making these images and storylines to kind of teach us something through symbolism. Or if we really are tuning into some kind of dimension where these intelligences exist and we can communicate with them somehow through the plants. What do you think, Brian, since you've seen the aliens?
Yeah, I would say yes and yes.
Yes and yes, yeah.
Like lucidity in a dream space as mm-hmm. well. You know, I take the standpoint of anything unconscious, subconscious, and conscious is all consciousness.
Yeah.
And... you know, there's multiple dimensions in this one. So why would there not be multidimensional creatures
mm-hmm.
that we could contact if we are able to perceive and interact in those dimensions?
Yeah.
And I have direct experience. So
yeah, yeah. So. And it's easy with the plants. That's the thing that's so crazy about the plants is that it doesn't require any belief or any dogma. It just requires a little bit of courage and some context to do the ceremony properly. And you can have like a profound experience.
I would love to touch on intentionality in regards to taking medicine. I think that's a really great way for people to, you know, shape their experience and then also feel more comfortable in surrendering to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like actually I was on the phone with Dakota the other day and we were talking about like the different entities we've seen. And like Dakota, for example, when, and I'm speaking for you because we just had this talk, when he does ceremony, he'll be like, show me, come on, being like, show me.
Don't make me sound like a weirdo.
Like, I've never done that. I'm like, Mother Ayahuasca, tell me what to do with my career. Tell me what to do in this relationship. Let me, you know what I mean? Like, I'm always seeking guidance in my life.
Yeah, I'm like the schizophrenic on the floor, like, aliens. No, I think it's really interesting when you do that. This is like what Terrence McKenna would do. And you find like some of these really old shamans suggesting that you invoke the spirit of the plant, that you call out for it. And when you do that, interesting things happen. I mean, I don't know, you know, who knows how or why it happens that way. Maybe your brain just needs to answer itself when you call out to something and it, you know, make it manifest something for you to experience. But you really meet some strange things, and you can start asking really specific questions. And I mean, like you said, you can start going through like your ancestral traumas and your past lives and things that you may, that like are haunting you from your childhood that you might not even recognize that's what, you know, that moment is what inspired this insecurity in your life or whatever. You can really see these things in clarity when you invoke the spirit of ayahuasca in that kind of way.
Yeah, I like to use it that way. I also feel like, you know, if our purpose here is to like grow from experiences and to just constantly evolve and get better and release that trauma, if we can get the help from plant medicines, why not, you know? Yeah, that's how I see it. But I do want to have that experience that you had. And I wonder, I'm looking at like the calendar or whatever that is behind you, if you could get very specific, like say, you know, I want to connect with the spirit of Lakshmi or Krishna, like could you do that, you think?
Maybe. I mean, I guess you'd really have to understand like those spirits that you're asking to communicate with.
Mm. And I guess they have free will if they want to.
You know, an interesting question to ask is just like, show me whatever you need to show me. Like, show me what I need to be seen.
See, Arrhythmia, they were always teaching us not to do that. They're like, don't say that. Like, don't say, just show me. But I that was my thing too. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to just say, look, I don't know what I'm supposed to see. Show me what you know that I'm supposed to see, right?
For me, that's always been the way I go into it. Because that allows me to surrender to it completely instead of holding on to some expectation or holding on to some, like, I'm supposed to have this experience because this is my intention or whatever. When I'm just like, show me whatever I need to be seen or whatever I need, it allows me to kind of be in this like, oh, okay, whatever, you know, whatever happens is what's supposed to happen. So that's always been my advice for myself.
When we go to Rhythmia, we're doing 4 nights. So maybe we'll do like 3 nights of ancestral healing. Brian, let me know if you're in this with me. But, and then like the last night, full surrender, just like, give me what you want. Because the fourth night is when they give you like triple the doses from the last few days. So like maybe on the fourth night, we just go for it.
I'm full alignment with that.
Yeah, cool.
Full surrender.
Kat, have you ever had any psychedelic experience before?
No. I'm like, I wonder when y'all are going to talk about something I've actually can contribute to. Because I'm over here. I'm about to check my emails.
That's just taking notes.
I'm editing pictures. I'm somebody who I've known as a bit of a control freak. I'm somebody who didn't grow up with a lot of control, like over my circumstances and my environment or my family or finances. So I've become successful by kind of having a lot of control and over analyzing things. So I have to be very careful about that. And I wouldn't do that without Frankie. So, you know, I mean, yeah. I'm open to everything, but I am a very like, you know, I'm just sensitive just because I'm vegan. Like I'll cry if I see a goldfish in a, you know,
yeah,
tank. So, you know, I'm just like hypersensitive. So, yeah. That might be coming from a place of fear or, you know, I don't know. But, you know, I'm kind of like adjusting. I mean, it would have to be like plants, like something from the earth, something.
If you were to take psychedelics, you mean?
Yeah. And I'm not like, you know, there would have to be something like that and be guided by a shaman or Frankie.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, of course. Yeah.
You know, just somebody who has a higher sense of, you know, awareness of multiple dimensions kind of thing. So, but you know, it's interesting because, you know, if everyone on this call was, you know, experienced in it, then I'm like basically like the audience member that kind of just tuned in and is like, what are these guys talking about? And what do you mean seeing aliens? So I think it's really interesting. There's a lot to it. And, you know, I've been looking at it more and more. Frankie just sent me this really great link to a YouTube video, and it's if you die before you die, you won't die when you die. And it's so amazing. And it you should look it up. It really talks about like once you see God, you can't unsee God.
Yeah.
And you have to have that experience in the now while you're alive in this moment. And how do you do that? And what are the tools to do that? So that I find really, really intriguing. So yeah, it's all an exploration.
What are the tools that I recommended to do to communicate?
You just watch it. Just watch it. I'm not going to articulate it in the same way with the same, you know, references to moments in history and things like that. So it's, you got to just watch it. We'll send it to you.
Okay, cool.
So, that video, Dakota, is about psilocybin.
Oh, okay. So it's like in like a psychedelic context about like.
Yeah, it's basically
it's like that's the context, but it really kind of like bridges the sciences about it in a really interesting
way. Yeah, I mean, it's so strange to have these experiences because, I mean, we go through life and you don't really know until you have the experience how just like crazy it is. It really, like, I've completely changed my perspective on everything. Like, I know that there is more than what I'm actually perceiving in normal life. And I feel like that's why when people take psychedelics, they just can't like shut up about it. But It is really interesting that like hidden in nature, there are these little keys that can unlock things in our brains that just open us up to a whole different Alice in Wonderland type of world or Avatar. Or, you know, it just puts us in like absolute alignment with creation or oneness or.
Where are you? Where's your family originally from? Or are you? Is everyone originally from Detroit?
Yeah, everyone for at least like a couple generations have been from here in Michigan around Detroit. I'm not too familiar with where like my ancestors are from.
You got to do that ancestry or 23andMe or whatever, yeah. Because that's really interesting too.
Yeah.
Find, I think like Frankie has like, he's like Mesopotamian.
Yeah, 10% Mesopotamian.
What's that, like Greek?
It's like the cradle of civilization. The
cradle of civilization, like, right?
Remember you learned about
Euphrates. I'm Jewish diaspora.
You're so what? It's
like Jewish diaspora, which is
okay.
The Jews out right outside of Israel. That's kind of my background. And then West African. So you see certain patterns or energies or behaviors.
Even, oh, interesting.
Or things that you might be drawn to. Like I love tribal drums and I can really go somewhere within that, right? Because that's probably the African part of it. I've always been drawn to, you know, Hebrew and Aramaic, like just like all that kind of, you know, that's my family anyways, but you know, the Middle East has always been. So it's interesting. I'd encourage you to do that.
Yeah, that is really cool. I never really thought about that.
To kind of break down where you might be having connection, yeah. Right?
Yeah, that's cool. Do you think that there's like this kind of just human unconsciousness that we all kind of tap into? Or do you think that there is kind of this lineage that our being is made up out of? Like, do you think there's just like a pool of everything that humans have ever done that we're reaching from? Or do you think it comes from our ancestors specifically?
Well, I think we're a pool of consciousness having a conversation with ourselves.
Well, I mean, like for example, like you saying you being like interested in drums and stuff like that because of your ancestors. Like, yeah, I wonder
that and past life stuff. I mean, it's a bunch of things. Like Frankie introduced me to Ayurvedic astrology,
mm-hmm.
Where they check where you're born and he can define it better than me, but it's incredible. And I'm in this life very obsessed with Italy. I'm usually in Italy probably every other month pre-COVID. And I never understood. I've always been obsessed with cooking. My mom never cooked for me. I was raised on fast food, single mom, like taught myself how to cook. And, you know, when I did this reading, he said that based on where I was when I was born under a star that, you know, and I was, my past life was in Italy, literally my last lifetime right before this one.
And he said that without even knowing that.
He didn't know who I was. He didn't know that I'm into Italy. In fact, most people don't really know how into Italy I am. It's not a common thing. That's my vegan cooking. I'll be right back. Okay.
Yeah, Dakota, this is the astrologer I was telling you about.
I was about to say that. I was about to say, is this the same dude?
Did I ever tell you the story?
No, you didn't tell me.
Remember when I texted you and I said I had a story for you?
Yeah.
So, okay, I have a dream that, like the night before, forgetting completely that I had an appointment with this guy, Jade, who's incredible, Jade Luna. He has like a 4-month waiting list. He's incredible for anybody who wants to check him out, Jade Luna. And he does Vedic astrology. So I had an appointment with him, but I... It's amazing. So he, you know, I had a dream. I told Kat this, I had a dream about him. And he and I were in the desert in the desert. And we're just chatting all day. And at the end, as I'm leaving, he goes, "You look disappointed. What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, we just spent the whole day together and you didn't even do a reading on me." And he said, "I've been leaving you clues throughout the conversation. If you didn't pick them up, then I can't help you. Like, what I gave you was more powerful than a reading." So then, you know, I wake up in the morning, check my planner. I'm like, "Oh, I have a 2 p.m. with Jay today. How weird. I just dreamt about him." Well, when he called, we talked. We just went on a tangent. We talked for 45 minutes before my reading even started. And the whole thing is an hour. So we only had 15 minutes left for a reading. And I said, "You know, I got to tell you about my dream. I had a dream that we just talked and talked and talked and we'd even get to my reading. And now that's actually happening." And the crazy thing too, is he said, which by the way, he did give me a ton of gems in that talk. So it was fine. He's going to give me make up the rest of the time for me later. But the really interesting thing is he told me on that talk that he just moved to the desert. He moved to Joshua Tree and my whole dream took place in the desert. So it's really interesting, you know, synchronicities there. And me and Kat travel together in dreams all the time.
We were together last night. I'm like, oh, I had a dream we were talking together in the car. You're like, yeah. And he also had a dream that we were together last night talking, and we went shopping together.
And Kat was like, oh, so maybe that's where we were going in the car. Because in her dream, we're just chatting in the car the whole time. In my dream, we were shopping. But it went even deeper than that. There were so many messages on that shopping trip.
Yeah, that's cool. When you're super connected with someone, I feel like that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, you know how she mentioned Sean Mandurek earlier and you said you didn't know who that was?
Yeah.
He has a really popular podcast, and we were on it together, Kat and I, which when Bryant was traveling at the time and couldn't join. And he said to us, you know, you and Kat are very connected. And he said, it started in Egypt. You had a past life together in Egypt. He said, in all these lifetimes, they're trying to pull you apart. And he said, and the guys are like, you're too attached. But we were in Egypt, and I was in the royal family, and Kat was the high priestess, and somebody, the person that serves her water, stabbed her in the back, and she died on the Nile. And I watched from afar, and I was like freaking out.
It was crazy.
So, and tell them the crazy part.
We don't use that word anymore.
Oh yeah, tell him the part that'll blow his mind.
So Dakota, Sean Mandurek had no idea. The only person actually that knew about my past life reading that I had with a shaman, a Native American shaman out here in Georgia, was Frankie and my mother, because it was so upsetting for me that I didn't. Frankie, you're on camera.
No, he only sees you. And I just did Rape. I'm literally doing Rape whenever it's not my turn to talk.
Anyways, so the only two people that knew about this past life experience was my mom and Frankie. It was such an upsetting experience. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have this amazing past life regression where I was a queen, or, you know, even if I was like in poverty, I was like experiencing, I was hoping to experience a very calm, you know, breathe in. What do you see? Like kind of foo-foo spiritual, right? Like I was ready for the foo-foo. That's not what happened. It was one of the most upsetting experiences of my life. And I was crying and I was filled with rage. And I had a, I guess it was a vision. I don't know. It was just a memory. I just was repeating a memory of being on the Nile. This is about, what, 2 years before Sean Mandurek said this? Or maybe three years that I had this past life regression. And I dreamt I was... on the Nile, and out of nowhere, I got stabbed in the back and I fell into the water. And I remember feeling my soul leaving my body and being so angry. And before that experience, what was interesting is that I told my mom at age like 13, 14, that if I died before her, to cremate me and scatter me along the Nile, which is real specific, especially when you grow up Jewish, and that's not what we do. So putting everything together, I realized that once Sean Mandurek said that, I never had a proper burial. Mm. And so in this life, I wanted to have control of how I went. And you know, how I was kind of, and then have a proper thing. So as almost like a wink to my past life, like, see, you're at peace. We came full circle and now we're back here. So it's interesting. But yes, we are super connected. We share dreams pretty often. It's not unusual for us. And that was just, that's not even like the close. Oh, we had a dream where we're both together. Like we've had the exact same dream talking to the exact same person, a person that neither one of us actually know personally, by the way.
He keeps showing up in our dreams, this person, both of us.
And we don't know him. We're not friends with him.
Who is it?
Yeah, who was it?
I don't know if we're supposed to say.
Start with a W?
Yep.
It starts
with a W.
I don't need to say. Hey, but I also think that like maybe they want us to say because they keep pushing this person to us. So we need to figure out what it means. But he keeps showing up in our dreams like constantly. And I literally, like I told Kat today, I don't think about this man in my walking life. He's an amazing guy, but I never think about him.
Love him, but.
Yeah. but just keeps knocking on our freaking dream door.
William Shatner.
Same initials.
True.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, not to keep bringing it back to ayahuasca and stuff, but when they found ayahuasca, they were going to call it telepathine because people were having telepathic experiences with it.
Oh, wow.
But it had already been written about, so they couldn't claim the name for it. And it was under harmine. That's what the name that they wrote about it as. But yeah, it'd be interesting for you guys to go in and do ayahuasca together. You guys would probably have like insane antenna-like cosmic communication.
If me and Kat did it together, I don't even know what would happen, honestly. I mean, it would
not come back in my body.
Yeah.
That would be really intense.
Yeah.
I would love it.
Yeah, past life stuff is interesting when you have like some kind of like glimpse into your past lives.
Mm-hmm. My first time ever doing it. Oh, sorry, Brian, you can go after this. But my first time ever doing it was all past life. That's all it was. Past life, all night. You know how they say when you die, you get like a rush of DMT and you just like, yes, your whole life flashes in front of your eyes. I had that all night the first time I ever did.
You look like a talking head.
I know, right? I love this thing. Kat and Brian have this too, Dakota. We need to get you one.
Okay, yeah, give me one.
I do it before bed though.
And that's supposed to take away wrinkles?
Actually, it does do that.
You got one right there?
Do that.
It does a lot of things, but it does like, it stimulates cellular turnover. So part of that would be that it would help with wrinkles. And it, you know, if you have like a wound or something, like I have like a little cut right there. I had one. I would just like, we'll leave it on there for 20 minutes and it just accelerates wound healing.
It thinks it's the sun. Your body thinks it's the sun or something.
It's, you know what? It's not, it's similar because light is healing in different frequencies. So blue light heals acne. Red light is good for wound healing, hair growth, things like that. Collagen production. And what it does is it's basically, I would mess it up if I tried to explain it, but it's like, it's the benefit of, yeah, like sunlight, but without the UVA, UVB, like the damaging parts. And actually what I love about Kat, Bryant, and I is, you know, you listen to a lot of these like biohacking podcasts and they're like, oh, it stimulates the mitochondria and promotes it. And me, Kat, and Bryant, we're just like, I don't know what it does. All I know is I use it and my skin is lit. All I know is we are lit when we use it. Our skin
really does work. Like, I'm super excited for all of my, anytime I have a shoot or anything, just even before I go to bed, it also gives me so much energy and a different kind of energy. I love it. It changes my skin. Like,
I had to ask Frank. I was like, what do you mean? What's biohacking?
I was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
If anybody wants to know, it's called the Vital Red Light. We like it because it's like the cheapest, one of the cheapest ones, and you can travel with it anywhere. Yeah, biohacking is cool. Dakota, you should, I wish you were, well, you'll be in Mexico, but we'll be in Silicon Valley. Brian and I will for sure be there. Hopefully, yeah,
that's where all you biohackers hang out in Silicon Valley. All you half robots out there.
There's this thing called the Biohacking Congress, and I'm gonna moderate a panel there with, like, you know, like the father of biohacking. His name is Dave Asprey, who created Bulletproof Coffee and Upgrade Labs. So it'll be really amazing, and I could really get you like full hands-on into biohacking. I wish you could make it.
Yeah, we'll see.
If you like plant medicine, you'll like technology that optimizes your energy.
It's like, yeah, no, I like all of it. It's all cool.
Oh, Brian was gonna say something earlier about past lives before I, you know, I always do past that. Life stuff. As I see Brian about to talk, I go, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. We can't interrupt each other, and we have a full conversation. We're fine, and Brian's like,
well, because Frankie's so telepathic, he'll say what I was about to say, and then I'm like, well, now I don't have anything to say. What I was gonna reference for Bria past lives. Recently, I've really tapped into my future self, or my future self has been going back and healing my present self right now.
Ooh, I like that.
And the energetic like upgrades and information and ways of showing up and being and communicating have.
Wait, hold on. Say that again. Say that one more time.
The energetic upgrades.
You're communicating with your future self to help your present self. That's such a cool way to play around with that. To do with the opposite.
I would say I almost think of it as like your future self is actually reaching back and picking you up and elevating
you.
And it's been absolutely incredible.
That's so cool.
Dakota, we should please do that in Mexico. You know, have you guys heard of Brian L. Weiss?
No.
He wrote Many Masters, Many Lives, kind of really the first big book about, Brian, you know, the first big book about reincarnation and you know, the idea behind it. And he is like, he's like the expert on past life regression. Like if you go to somebody who's a past life regression person, they usually have gotten their training, unless they're a shaman, from Brian L. Weiss. And he had like a 10-year waiting list before he stopped, literally a 10-year waiting list. It was people like Oprah were on his waiting list. And well, she probably didn't have to wait, but what you did is, what he started to realize is that people were not just doing past life regression, they were doing future life regression. And so he started working with that. That's like his latest thing, where you can go into a hypnosis state and then talk to your future self rather than your past life self.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that's all, that's like one of the ultimate realizations, right? Is that time is an illusion that binds us to the self. And if we can break that little illusion, then we can mess around with what our identity actually is. Yeah, it's cool. I like that.
There's also, I saw this one quote one time where it said, your future self is watching you right now through your memories.
Mind blowing.
Right? And then if you really start getting into like the study of manifestation, a huge part of that for, you know, if it works for you, is they say, you know, imagine yourself already in possession of it, imagining that it's happening, imagine that it's happened, because on some level it already has. And if it already has, then what's the difference between your present and your future? It's all happening at the same time. I don't know. I've had some really deep conversations about this a lot. I mean, who's to say you're not gonna wake up tomorrow and you're in the past and you don't remember this moment, or you're gonna wake up in the future and you didn't remember this moment. So it's just so interesting.
Some people don't need it.
You just already know.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to be some kind of biological like survival mechanism. This whole thing of us like attaching every moment in our lives to make sense of ourselves. I mean, we kind of have to build this identity, or otherwise we're just kind of like, you know, we have to be painters or mothers or friends or YouTubers or whatever, you know, otherwise we're just like, what even am I? So it's like almost like a little like survival mechanism that we just like attach all these moments and create this illusion of time to lose ourselves in. It is weird. It's so strange that the universe just somehow like happened and we're like in Zoom talking about this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Wakes up.
Yeah.
Like the Twilight Zone.
I know, we're participating, doing great.
Yeah, we don't have any choice really.
Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing is the authenticity within yourself and how you're expressing the role that you're choosing to play. Beyond like, I am this, I am that. It's like, are you free? Are you liberated? Are you anchored in your own light? Are you bringing more light to this earth?
Did you see the movie Soul yet?
I love that movie.
So good. I was in the zone like yesterday when I was playing my bass guitar, and I was like, totally had a Soul flashback.
Oh my God.
What's Soul?
You didn't see Soul yet?
Oh, it's good. It's very good, Frankie. You'll love it.
Where is it? Like Netflix?
It's only on Disney Plus.
It's so deep.
Dude, I think it's my favorite movie.
You would love it, Frankie. You gotta watch it.
Me and my mom watched it and we were just like crying. We're like, oh, I get it. It's such a good movie.
Oh man. Okay, should I watch it with my family?
Yeah, it's a good one to watch with your family.
Okay, then I guess I have to get Disney Plus.
I have it. You can use mine.
Oh, yes.
Don't you work for Disney?
Kat, that's my thing. Kat, I was talking to my colleague yesterday and both of us were like, we refuse to get Disney Plus because of the principle of it. Like, we should get it. For free because we work for Disney. So it's like the principle that keeps me from, you know what I mean? But I love Disney. Disney's great to me. I mean, you know, obviously. But it's like the principle of just, I want Disney Plus for free. This way I get it for free because I'm getting it from Dakota.
There's a bunch of little hippies that ride around in the astral world on this big hippie tie-dye ship. And they're just like saving lost souls by doing these shamanic rituals or playing drums.
That's where you'd be, Dakota. So
I would totally be there.
Right in the center.
Like that guy just in New York spinning the sign. That's so good. The guy is like...
Oh, I was going to say, Dakota, I could totally see you doing that. And you're such a free spirit. I feel like that's why your viewers really connect with you and love you like your audience does. Because everybody sort of has this like fantasy of just traveling the world and, you know, living a nomadic life.
With cannibals.
And going to India for 3 months and going to the rat temple and then the elephant cave and all the, you know, and all, doing all these amazing things. And you actually do that and you show people that it's possible. Yeah. And, you know, little by little, we say, oh, maybe I can do that too, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of strange. Like we get so caught up in this, like this thought of like, or this concept of like, I'll do it one day, or like, oh, it would be cool to do that. It's just like, you just do it. Like once I realized that I could just do things, like that was such a tough realization to have. I mean, like I know it sounds so intuitive, like I know I can just go do whatever I want. But like once you kind of have that snap or flash of realization, like no, I can really just go if I want to. Yeah. I mean, maybe not everyone has the, you know, the luxury to go wherever they want. But I mean, if you're not paying for a car and you're not paying for a house and all this stuff, it's not really that unrealistic. And there are. You just kind of show up, figure it out too, you know?
The little taste I had of that, just a like tiny taste, was that I'm from LA like Kat is, and was there my whole life with the exception of going to high school in Texas. And I always thought I had to live there because I'm like, well, I work in TV, I'm a journalist, I make YouTube videos. So I always thought I have to live in LA. And then all of a sudden COVID hit, right? And it kind of like broke the matrix for a lot of people. And you just like realized a lot of things about your life that maybe you didn't see before. And one of those things, I remember one day, I still remember the day so clearly when I was like, wait, I don't have to live here. I could live anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I like picked up and moved to Texas. Kat and Bryant came with me. They helped me like move my stuff. And yeah, it was like this experience of like, wait, I can do anything I want. And I've been creating these limitations all this time, thinking you have to live in LA, you have to have this job, you have to do this. And then all of a sudden one day I just realized I was creating like this fake prison. You know, it's kind of like they have this experiment, they've done it with chickens and with flies, where they'll put like flies in a cup with a lid on, and then they remove the lid like a week later or whatever, however long later, and the flies don't fly out. They still think there's a lid that doesn't actually exist. And it's kind of like how I realized I was living, where I thought the lid was still there. And then I realized, oh, wait, I can just step out if I want. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. And it seems, it's like, it seems such a silly kind of just normal, like obviously, but it's not that obvious. You know, we really get stuck in that. And like the simple little limitations that just like bind us to such bullshit. It's really easy to break if you just break it, you know?
Yeah.
But it's just like... realizing that you have to break it is the hard part, I guess.
Bryant, tell Dakota the story of what's his name that you wanted to meet, and then I saw him in Xena. Vernon Wong.
He's the Kundalini activation process founder. CAP is they are kind of like these vessels, and they channel this energy, and the energy goes into the people that they're initiating and wakes up their Kundalini, and then that energy naturally arises.
We have a video about it on YouTube.
Oh, Frank did an epic depiction on it. Very clear, you know, from his own experience, very objective too. So definitely check that out. But what were we doing? We're like, oh, we should look more into this. And then he's watching his like childhood.
No. Yeah. Okay, let me just tell the story. I'm going to tell the story.
Okay, go. I left for a second, but please go.
I was trying to let Brian talk because I was like talking too much, but I got to tell this story now. So, okay. Dakota, you know about Xena Warrior Princess, right? Like the show from the 90s?
I don't.
No? Okay, you got to look it up. You have to
binge watch it now.
You have to binge watch it. So Xena is this show that is like legendary. She's this like lesbian icon.
Uh-huh.
And and it like totally shaped my childhood. I was obsessed with this show, right? Growing up in like the 90s and watching Xena Warrior Princess. It was like the Buffy Vampire Slayer, it's all that, Keenan and Kel, those days. And my roommate at the time had never seen it. Kai had never seen it. And I said, we're gonna binge. And so during COVID in the beginning, you know, we would just like smoke weed and watch Xena Warrior Princess. Well, one day I'm in the car with Bryant, and Bryant says, "Hey, can you reach out to Venant Wong and like let me know when his next class is, because I wanna take his course and kind of like learn how to do the Kundalini activation process." And I said, yeah, I'll do that. And it had been a year since I did the video, which I highly recommend people go and watch the video on our YouTube channel about that. And like this guy is like waving his hand. And as he does, the Kundalini in people is just moving, allegedly, right? I mean, like that's what he says is happening. I never say what specifically it is, but that's what he says is happening. And so I said, yeah, I'll reach out to him. But I was hesitant and I didn't want to. So I get home and me and Kai are so excited because we've been watching Xena for 3 months and we're now on the finale, like season whatever, 6 or whatever it is, last episode. We get food, we get like vegan gluten-free pizza, we get ice cream, we get all this stuff. And we're just excited to just finally finish the whole season. It's the last episode.
Sorry, you just said you were getting vegan gluten-free pizza to watch the finale of Xena Warrior Princess. Just letting you know that those words came out of your mouth, you can continue.
To be fair, I got vegan gluten-free pizza and Kai got full wheat, full meat pizza. And so we were, you know, we're eating it, we're excited, we're watching. And I still at this point had never reached out to Venant Wong when that morning Brian told me to. And he shows up in the episode of Xena, a show that aired 20 years before.
Oh, yeah.
He's the villain in the episode. He's like the villain who's fighting Xena in the finale. And I looked up his like IMDb because I'm like, was he an actor? It was like the only show he was ever in. He showed up in this freaking Matrix world that we live in.
Yeah, I remember you telling me this now.
Isn't that wild?
That's so crazy, yeah.
It's exactly what I was going to say.
Oh man, yeah, those synchronicities that happen like that are so wild. How do you ever explain something like that?
I know.
Well, you know, like I think it's when you start paying attention a little bit more. I bet that kind of stuff happens all the time. I bet we just don't really, we're too distracted by like the bullshit in our heads all the time to really notice. But I bet that happens all the time, those kind of synchronicities.
I think guides, angels, you know, being, they love it when you're paying attention.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have a number, Dakota, that you see a lot.
No, I don't. But I've never really paid attention to it. I bet if I did, maybe one would pop out.
No, it's not even that. It's really not that. It's that it's like, you know,
not that.
Like Bryant, Frank, and I get slapped with it. Like we're not paying attention. We're never looking for it. So, you know, they love to use numbers specifically. Like my number is 27.
Yeah. Frank, how come you think?
Hmm?
Well, how come do you think they use numbers?
Because they know that we're, you know, gonna analyze it. You know, angel numbers mean a lot. Bryant has, I think it's still 222, or just maybe 22. Is it 32s still? 32s, yeah, sort of thought. So, you know, if I also have to call Frankie or something is important, I'll see a massive 38 like painted on the side of a building. I'm like, okay, hey, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Or I'll be behind a car that's like 38, 38, 38, 38, 38, or like, you know, things like that when I have to talk to Frankie. Or, you know, a lot of people in my life now started having the number 27 everywhere.
Yeah, my hotel room this weekend was 27. I was gonna tell you and I forgot.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So now we're starting to like get it for each other a bit.
Yeah, it's like they test you, right? And then they notice that you, like they give you something, like a lot of people it's 111 or 1111. And then when they see that you're noticing, they're like, okay, we got through to them. And then they show you other ways. And then like for us, we start seeing each other's numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. What do you think that is? Do you think that's like a part of your higher self, like from the future, like we were kind of talking about? Or do you think that's some kind of angel or spirit guide? I guess it could all be the same, right? Who knows?
Cat's me. I don't know if everybody can see all the grids, but Cat's like.
It's a couple things. One, it's definitely a confirmation because, you know, having a wellness company or making your goal in life to make this world a better place, you sometimes have to sacrifice a lot of things, one of those being more money, or putting yourself in the position to make maybe have more money or whatever it might be for that moment, you know, saying no to certain relationships or conversations or experiences or even places to go because they're not in alignment with your like higher purpose. And within that, you know, I don't know if I can't speak for Frankie and Brian, but for me personally, that can create a lot of insecurities where you're not sure if you're doing the right thing. You know, really, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I really supposed to walk away from this? Or, you know, it's only for a little bit of time that I do this. Are you sure that I should? So I have, you know, a lot of these kind of self, not anymore, but I would have a lot of conflicting moments where it was like, I'd leave a relationship that was not in my best interest. I'd see the number 27. You know, I would be worried about, am I in the right place? Was I meant to be here? I don't know that I'm meant to be here. I see a huge 27. So it's really for me a confirmation number that I feel like I'm given, like my God number. So anytime I see it, I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Stop panicking.
Yeah.
Stay calm, 27. Like that's kind of my thing through this life. It's really just a confirmation number. And then sometimes it'll be used as a way to give me advice. So if you look up angel number, I don't know, 11 or angel number 903 or angel number whatever, it has messages within it. And certain things I'll like in dreams will be very, very specific. And then I'll look them up and it'll be a message for, you know, something.
Yeah, it's all mysterious. All of this whole world, how it's all symbolic, it seems, at the end of the day. Everything we use to communicate with the world, the language and the way that we use to interpret things, it's all kind of filtered through this, through symbols. So it does make sense that that's the way that, you know, some kind of outer dimensional being would communicate with us. This is how our brains seem to work. Mm. Like even if we stare at like static on a screen long enough, we start to like see shapes and symbols emerge.
Static on a screen, like old school TVs.
Yeah, like old school TV. If you know, if you stare at like a screen, our brains. Static on a screen, Dakota. This is what I do in my room all day. No, but that's what our brains are. You know, our brains are wired to see patterns and things. So it makes sense that some kind of, you know, outer intelligence would use that system to communicate with us. We pick up patterns everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you guys like have done some really interesting talks with some cool people like Deepak Chopra. Who else? You did one with just some yogi I saw on one of your YouTubes.
Sri Ravi Shankar.
Yeah, that's right. Sri Ravi Shankar. What's it like to talk to some of these like really interesting people?
They're really fun, you know? Yeah. I mean, the older they are, it seems like the less serious they take themselves. And then I find that some of the younger people that I've connected with that are like, I've been really interested in talking to are just super like, this is how you do this. Mm-hmm. This is how this works. And then you'll reach elevation. And then I'll hang out with Deepak and he'll just be so silly and mm-hmm. so fun and so lighthearted, but still have, you know, this deep sense of you know these different concepts and topics and be able to break them down. But so that's what's really interesting is how kind of playful and kid-like a lot of them are, which is really nice.
Yeah, I did a podcast with my friend Duncan Trussell, and he said something really interesting. He said try to offend these spiritual teachers. If you can offend them, then their practice is, you know, shrug worthy their practice. So if they can joke around and take jokes, that's how you know that people are probably on a serious spiritual path. Because it's not so serious at the end of the day.
Try to offend them.
Yeah, try to offend them, you know.
Maybe they'll do like a spiritual version of Between Two Ferns.
Oh man, I love Zach Galifianakis. He's one of my favorite comedians.
Yeah, that's what you'll do. Blow up that way.
No, I don't want to do that. But it is interesting, you know, just like the idea that like, you know, of silliness, you know, like I feel like this lightheartedness in these saintly like people or people that really do take spiritual practices seriously, you find that as a thing. people are super lighthearted and kind and, you know, not so stern. I feel like that really comes in the early days.
Yeah.
Because I went through that too. I went through that too of like thinking I needed a stern spiritual practice and like, no, I'm like this and, you know, and then just you get that beat out of you as you progress.
Yeah. Yeah. Lost for sure.
Who would you guys like want to talk to if like you had anyone throughout like history who would be an interesting guest that you would like to meet?
I think Tesla for me.
Oh, Tesla would be really cool. Tesla that is a good one. Such a good one. Yeah.
I would say Khalil Gibran.
Who's that?
He's a good one.
Do you know the book The Prophet?
No.
Oh my God, Dakota. I think it's like the third best-selling book in history.
Really? The Prophet? Yeah.
Or it was probably before Harry Potter. yeah, Tesla would be an amazing one too. That would.
Could you imagine talking to Tesla? He could probably just telepathically communicate with you if he wanted to.
I've tried before doing that, like in meditation of like calling in the energy of Tesla. Have you guys ever done anything like that?
No.
Summoning.
What?
Summoning.
Summoning. Yeah.
That's what we'll do. We'll do that. We'll do that in Mexico and ayahuasca. It's like Tesla.
Okay, so far, we have so many things we want to do. We're in Dakota. We're like, one day we're going to let go. Another day we're going to talk to Tesla. Another day we're going to talk to beings. What was the fourth one? There was a fourth one. I can't remember. Well, we have a lot.
We got a list, though.
What's going to happen is we're going to plan all that. And then when we get there, it's going to be something entirely different, you know?
How it works.
Yeah.
The best is when you really try and plan all the spiritual things.
Yeah.
Like right. That's the one place you really can't. You have to just, it's cute.
What about you, Bryant? Who's like someone that you would like to hang out with throughout history, an interesting person?
Ooh, I would say like Babaji, Swami Rama, people that are like have lived past 2,000 years and just get those codes real quick. yeah.
And yeah, no, that's a tough question. There's so many interesting people throughout history.
Yeah, any immortal.
I thought Kat would say Frida.
Wait, what?
I said I thought Kat would say Frida.
No. Brian, what were you saying?
Oh, I said any immortals would be nice to meet them.
Immortals?
Oh yes, the ones in the Himalayas.
Like Edward Cullen?
Who's Edward Cullen?
The guy from Twilight.
yeah.
No, that's cool. Oh shit.
Perfect.
No, that's cool. I mean, I've heard of that. You know what I've heard? I've tried to rationalize that, like all these people saying that there's these yogis that live in the Himalayas and they're like 200 years old. And I asked someone when I was in Rishikesh, I was like, how is that possible? And they told me, they were like, you can Google this, look this up. You have a certain amount of heartbeats in your life. Like not everybody, there's an average amongst humans. You have an average amount of heartbeats throughout your life. And these yogis, through breath work, are slowing down their heart. So this is the way that they're able to prolong life. And I was like, oh.
Ooh, so I should stop taking pre-workout.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, there you go. That's biohacking.
Yeah, that's definitely the ultimate biohacking.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dakota, in I think it's Autobiography of a Yogi, I think. Brian, you might know this too, but Paramahansa Yogananda talks about breaths per minute. And he says the animals that live the longest, like turtles. Hundreds of years, turtles, and then there's a couple of others, and what they do is they only take like 4 breaths a minute, 1 to 4, and it's actually possible for us to do that. We just have to be super conscious of it. I'll do it like once a week and then I forget again, and then like 4 days later I'm like, oh yeah, and then I'll do it and then I'll forget it, you know.
Yeah.
But if we could do that, it would be it'd be a really cool experiment, you know, trying that for a couple of years and seeing how we feel, how we age.
Yeah, could you imagine? I mean, you look at these guys that do yoga, like, seriously, and they look good for their age. Some of these
guys. That was the first thing I noticed doing Kundalini yoga. I was, like, in L.A., and it was, like, 10 years ago when I first started. And these women who were, like, 70, 60, 70 years old. And I remember they do a lot of these poses, you know, where you have your arms up in the air, and it would be firm. And I'm like, how do you have no skin? And they're in their 60s. And I remember that was, like, one of the first things I noticed.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I noticed that. Like, when you go to Mexico, there's a guy that works at the retreat. His name's Leonardo, and he's just like this 80-year-old yogi. All throughout ceremony, all night, he's just sitting there like a stone Buddha.
Is he Mexican?
Jesus. Mexican? Yeah, he's Mexican. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really want to learn more from like these Mexican shamans that you're with a lot too, because, you know, like you, I've done a lot with Indian shamans and a lot from like Native American, but never like Mexican. I've been to a Mexican, like a bruja before. Yeah. Me and Brian.
Yeah, cool.
Very interesting experience, but I want like more of what you're talking about.
Well, the cool thing about like if you come to Mexico for this retreat is that they flew out Justina, who is like this shaman from the Amazon, and it's the lady who can suck out negative energy out of people.
So, I saw your video about this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm skeptical about all that kind of stuff, but basically, the story is that so Peruvian shamanism, what they do is like it's almost like a really intense form of yoga. They'll go out into isolation. They'll only eat once a day, and it's really simple: no salts, no sugars, no oils. They'll eat like a plantain and like a fish or something, and that's what they eat all day. And they're only drinking water, and they're dieting a specific plant that they find in the jungle, like one of their medicinal plants. I believe the plant that Justina was dieting was called chaikuni. I think so. She was dieting this plant that they call chaikuni, and she did it for 20 months in isolation, doing this every day, and maybe eating chaikuni once a day with her food. And through doing this 20-month practice, the plant opened up to her and taught her this power of how to remove negative energy out of people.
It's like the plant wants to make sure you're dedicated, right? And it wants to know what you're.
Well, they look at them as like they're like their spirits, you know. So I mean, it's like no one, you know, you just don't go knocking on some guy's door and saying, "Hey, teach me something," you know. You gotta come around and hang out and get to know him. And I mean, like we were talking about earlier, we come in contact with all these spirits and entities on ayahuasca and mushrooms and psychedelics. So it kind of makes sense when you enter those worlds and see those things that there is probably some kind of intelligence or spirit to the plants. And that's what these shamans are doing. They're like making friends with them and the plants are teaching them something.
Yeah. I met this guy in Shasta called Blue Wolf, and he had worked with the natives there, but he had created the circles that were grids for the extraterrestrial technology or higher vibrational knowledge to come down into Earth. And his specific task for this was to seek out different stones that were vibrationally aligned to allow this grid to take form. And he taught me how to communicate with the stones. It's as simple as like asking for its permission, introducing yourself, and listening and lowering your frequency to be able to hear kind of what it has to say. And I thought that was really interesting. It's like shamanism is actually just communication with the elements, and different elements choose you throughout your life. You know, like for me, I really have like a firm belief that the air, spirit, wind has chosen me to communicate with it. And then through consistent ritualized practice and also conversation, I have a really deep connection and bond with it. So interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, she'll be a really interesting person to meet, and kind of she'll scan your body and stuff and check you guys out. And
question, does she like suck out your energy in your head?
Or from wherever it is. So like if it's like if the energy's stuck in your shoulder or something, then she'll just start sucking it out. And it usually takes a form of something like a pin, or sometimes it takes form of a bug.
Oh.
So that's where I get a little bit skeptical, but like, I mean,
In your video, what was it again?
Like a little pin or a fish bone. No, I think I had a little pin, like a little thorn, and my friend had a fish bone.
I have a couple questions, but so you did that video, and do you read the comments of your own videos?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was like the reaction for that?
Some people were like, "Wow, that's crazy." And a lot of people don't believe it, obviously. And, you know, like, I'm skeptical. I'm really skeptical about it. But, I mean,
about a lot of things like you, but I still make these videos. And that's why I want
to. It's still fun.
How you handle it. Yeah.
Because it's like, what if? And even if it's not real, it's just like, I like to be in like a little, I like to be in a make-believe world sometimes, you know? Like, lighten up, let life have some magic.
So, really well said. Say that again and then do a soundtrack thing.
Let life have some magic.
I love you guys. I have to run. But
yeah, that's okay. We just did an hour. So we busted an hour.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you guys for hanging out with me.
I appreciate you stepping into this conversation, Kat.
Especially, thank you, Kat. I mean, it's so great to hear all these different experiences. You know, we were at
nothing.
Very interesting, Dakota. I can't wait to meet you in real life.
Yeah, when it's in the flow, you know, I'll see you guys all one day, out in wherever in this earth.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for coming on. It's it was a cool conversation. Thanks for talking to me about aliens and stuff. And
anytime. I was gonna go deep into the alien conversation, but I'm like, that's just not where they're going. So let me not go even further left than they already are. Like, let's just keep this train moving. Because that's a whole different podcast.
Okay, well, much love.
Part two.
Much love, guys. Part two eventually, one day.
All right. Love you, Dakota. Thank you for
having
me.
Love you guys. Yep, peace.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Talk to you soon. Adios.
Thank
you. Home.
Yeah. Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.